saving us from sin, saving us from death. Help us to worship you in fullness. Help us to worship you in spirit and truth this morning, God. Help us to lay everything at your feet and cast all our cares upon you. We love you so much, God, and we pray everything in the name of Jesus. Amen. Let's worship.
Alone and home. Thank you. Thank you.
Do you ever think about how Jesus suffered and it just breaks your heart? It pains you to think that he was whipped and he was beaten, he was spit on, he was slapped and punched. They drove nails through his hands, they drove nails through his feet, and he hung. It should pain us from time to time to think about that. I think it should pain us more often than not. That our God would love us that much, to suffer that much, so that we would be clean. So that we can know who made us. It's no small thing, friends. It's no small thing that we can worship him. That we can be in his presence, that we can have life, eternal life. Thank you so much, God. Thank you so much, Lord. Pray with me for Ranger Fest. Father, we ask that you just continue to pour your love out on these men and these boys. Continue to soften their hearts for you, God. We ask that you'd protect them and allow them to have a great rest of their time there. But above all else, Lord, we just ask that you would work in them so they can know you better, better than they've ever known you before. And we ask that for all of us here today too, Lord. Help us to know you better than we've ever known you before. Truly appreciate you. We love you so much. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. It's a powerful song. And I think why is it so powerful? It's just saying over and again, like, you're worthy of it all. And it becomes a reality as we say it over and over. But that's just some thoughts I have. But welcome to Seaport. Thank you for being here. It's our privilege to have you here. Forgive me for all these tears. Welcome if you're with us online. It's just such a blessing to see all of you. We want to get connected with you, though. But before I share those opportunities and the ways to get connected, can we honor our guests? Can we clap our hands for our guests? Thank you for being here. If you want to get connected with Seaport, you can text welcome to the number on the screen behind me. You can hit the QR code on the seat back in front of you with your phone. Point your camera at it. Get connected that way. We have social media, Instagram, Facebook, other platforms that you can get connected that way. And then after the service, you can meet Pastor Brad over by the cafe. And if you are a first-time guest, you can go enjoy a free coffee back there. So that's pretty sweet. But I also have some opportunities I want to share with everybody. We have camp going on June through August. And the spiritual impact of camp on these young boys and girls is incredible. So sign them up. now more than ever is probably a good time to learn how to manage your money, not money your manage. That's backwards. You want to manage your money better. More than money will be done by Risha. If you want to understand what your purpose is, your calling is, what your spiritual gifts are, and what your role is in the kingdom of God, what God has created you for and what to do, how to do it effectively, we have Engage, that is with Pastor Brad. We have the CareNet Baby Bottle Campaign. You can stop by the information desk to pick up a baby bottle, fill it with cash, checks, or coins over the next month or so. And then if you want to learn any more information about that, you can just go to their website. And then we also, on this Wednesday, we have our last Way of the Warrior meeting for the men. It's right after service. Those are all the opportunities. Here's Pastor Brad.
Thanks, Rolando. Amen. Money or manage. Unforgettable. Great to have you here. Bring up that Royal Ranger picture again. I want you to see this again. I want you to look at it. Some of you had your eyes closed while you were praying, which is a good thing. But let's bring that picture up. I took this last night when I went up there to see them. This is just before they went to the Saturday night service. And so if you're looking around saying, where is everybody? There's 31 of them right there. Seaport had the largest outpost at Ranger Fest. And that represents 186 churches across Connecticut and Rhode Island, Massachusetts, okay? The largest one. So, and if you look on the connection page, if you're part of Seaport's private connection page, you'll see a whole list of their awards that they won. But more importantly, was what happened last night. They were in the service, and I had to leave the service to come back, 2-hour ride back here. And I jumped on the Zoom call in my truck, and we were praying last night and during the closing moments of that service. And Matt said to me this morning, he said almost every single boy and man was down in the front of that outside theater just pouring their hearts out to the Lord. So that is what's important. Hallelujah. I believe in that ministry. I believe in it with all my heart. And that's why it's such a big and important value around here. But it's great to have you here. And Brandon and Crystal, are you here? I want to make sure you're here. Are you here, Brandon and Crystal? Let's make sure you're here. Brandon and Crystal, I'll see you. I'm going to say goodbye to this young military family. They were hoping to be here. I don't see them unless they're hiding. But Brandon and Crystal is a military family that's only with us a very short time of being transferred. That happens a lot around here, but we're certainly going to miss them. I love what Crystal said. She said, you guys have helped our marriage a lot, and we thank you all for what you've done for us. And I said, yeah, you're definitely not from here. But anyway, we're certainly going to miss them. They're barely with us, and then they're out of here. Brandon didn't go on the men's encounter. That was great. It wasn't planned like this. It must be a supernatural thing, right? This Wednesday, we begin a brand new series called Love Your Neighbor, and it's designed to help you help people around you that you love know how to respond to the things that they're going through. And guess what this Wednesday is? Abortion. Must be the Lord's timing, huh? Amen. Must be. Lisa Maloney of CareNet, and this was all arranged well before Friday's decision. This has been on the books. Adam and Chris can tell you it's been on the books for probably a couple of months now. And so she's going to come. She's the director of CareNet. She's going to come, and she's going to kick this series off, and she's going to talk to us. It's not going to be a debate about abortion. It's not what it is. It is a, you know, if you know somebody that's considering, or if you know somebody who's had one, how to help them. That's what it's about, okay? And so we start this brand new series. It's designed to equip you to be effective in ministering to other people, because that's what you're called to do. Amen. You are not called to go to church services. Amen. You're called to minister to others. Amen? Amen? Adam's with me. Are the rest of you with me? Yeah. Okay? So that's what we do on Wednesday night. And so I hope that you'll be part of that. You can pick up the book. It's only $15. And then we're going to pick up some heavy topics right off the top. Abuse, adultery, and more. right at the top, one after the other. And so it'll be a real help to you in understanding it, as well as, you know, just dealing with those topics and helping people that you love. And so we just want you to, you know, kind of be aware of that. Last week, our own Gretchen Feaster got married, and here's a picture of the whole bridal party. And so it's congratulations to Koji and Gretchen Inoshima. And so it was just a beautiful gathering. And so we just wanted to share that picture with you of the whole bridal party. Hallelujah. So congratulations to them. Hallelujah. It's our privilege and our honor to give. I love what Jesus said in Luke 6. He said, "Give and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down and flowing over." And the same way that you give, it will be returned to you. How many of you have discovered that? I have. I've discovered that. As a matter of fact, I said to somebody, in all my Christian life, I've never given a dollar. Never once. And he's like, what? I've never given a dollar that God has not given back to me many times over. So in a sense, I've never given a thing. Because he's returned to me far more than I have ever given. I hope that you'll discover the blessings of giving. Amen? And so be faithful in giving tithes and offerings. Let's honor the Lord. Let's pray. There's lots of ways to give. You can see that up there. You can go old school and go stop by the little giving boxes, the kiosks out there. You can do that. You can go online through the app. You can use text to give. There's a lot of ways to do that. Lord, thank you for the privilege of giving. It's an honor. We thank you, that God, that in this giving that we're investing, just like we saw, we're investing in boys and men. Lord, we're investing, Lord, to thank you for, you know, Lord, for the 9 young adults that were with Rolando and Bree Thursday night. Lord, we thank you for all the work that's being done around here. And we're grateful that we can invest in it. Lord, we're not just checking a box. We're seeing lives changed and impacted for your glory and your honor. We thank you for that. Use these gifts to further your kingdom. Amen, friends? Amen and amen. So I'm going to ask the 3 prayer leaders. There's actually 5 prayer leaders at Seaport. I'm going to ask them to come and join me real quick-like. And that's Robert, Ed, and Andrea. Matt, of course, is with the Rangers. And Seth isn't here because he's picking up his family at the airport. But there are 5 people here who lead in-person and in-person Zoom prayer gatherings. Seaport has, I lost count, I think we have 8. I don't know if I got kind of lost count. I'll never forget, Ken Gobb was here and he said during the service, "How many? When's your prayer meeting, Pastor?" I said, "Well, every day of the week." He's like, "What?" So I want you to meet these, because they are like online all the time or in person. And let's just step up a little bit here. And so I just want you to meet them. You'll see them online. And Ed was a deacon when I tasked him with leading, being the deacon of prayer. And that was his deacon portfolio. He led that for 6 years and now completed his term. But he wanted to retain that role, and so he's kept that role as prayer leader here. And then, of course, you see Robert. He's on there supporting all the time. Andrea just started a couple of weeks ago. And I'm so glad 7 of you ladies were online Thursday night at 8 o'clock. And that was so great, having you online praying together. Half an hour, it's glory. So my question, I'm going to go to you first, Andrea. Ladies first, okay? The question is, why? You initiated. We didn't ask you to start this. You initiated this. Why did you want to get some ladies together to pray? Why? Sure. Why is it important?
So prayer is important because I have seen God answer prayers in my own life. I believe that he can do the same for others. So it's simple.
Amen. It's simple, okay? So there's actually a book, and I was talking to Andrea about this. There's actually a book called What Happens When Women Pray. And when women pray, often they pray with just, you know, the men around here pray with a lot of passion and fervency, but women often tend to pray with greater passion and fervency and great empathy, too. So Lead on. So you had seven. That's tremendous.
Yeah.
So, I mean, what kinds of things do you pray about? Now, you can't give away confidential information. We know that. But what kinds of things do you pray for?
Sure. So I would say fear, depression, anxiety is a good one. Another one is just healings. And we pray for putting on the armor of God is another one that you had spoken about.
Yeah, I emphasize that. Sometimes what I'll do is I'll send these prayer leaders. I say, I want you to emphasize this. Mm-hmm. And this past week it was Ephesians 6, the armor of God.
Sure. I mean, as moms, you know, we need to pray and intercede for one another. So that's something that...
So you're praying for your kids too, huh?
Sure. We can, you know, pray for our kids, our husbands. There's so much you can pray for. Yeah.
So can any lady come to this?
Absolutely. Okay. And everyone's welcome.
So is anybody going to be just called on to pray? And so sometimes we get embarrassed if you know, just we'll get called because we're not used to praying.
Right. So I pretty much know people who are the regulars, and I'm going to call on them. And if I feel like you're comfortable to pray, then I'll ask you. But there's always, you know, you can say no. That's not a... You know.
Okay, yeah. So no pressure thing. Because sometimes we're apprehensive about that. Okay, good. Thank you, Andrew.
Yeah.
Thank you. Robert, you really kind of helped push prayer forward with Ed. And, you know, and so, but, I mean, you work pretty hard with me, for me. But you're on Zoom calls a lot, almost every night at 9 o'clock. And why? Why do you do that?
I think prayer is the best weapon God gave us, and it's so simple to use. You don't need a training, and you can use it from anywhere. And, you know, that's why, like, we do it on prayer calls, like, on Zoom every single night. So,
can we bring up the prayer schedule and take that one down? Bring up the prayer schedule. That would be great if we could see the prayers that we have. And keep going. So, Robert, I mean, you've invested a lot of time. Have you seen prayers answered?
A lot of them. We pray for our church and for the nation like every single, you know, night that we are on, like Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday nights. And I can tell that there are a lot of prayer points that were answered. In fact, like we have two people whom we consistently prayed for cancer, and, you know, both of them are cancer-free now. So, you know, yes.
Yeah, amen. I'm looking for the prayer schedule is what I'm looking for, Brian. So if you can bring that up, that'd be great, please. Ed, so you've been leading prayer for 6 years, and it's always been a huge part of your life. Why?
Well, it actually started a long time before 6 years with you and I, when you invited me to go to South Korea, 1997. And I've grown up in a Christian family, but it wasn't until I came here to Seaport that I've been challenged spiritually to draw closer to the Lord by Pastor Brad. So we went to South Korea. We sat in Dr. Cho's church, where they actually have 12 services on Sunday and 11 on Saturday, 1 million people. And when they pray, corporate prayer, the veins are sticking out of these people's necks, and they are screaming and screaming in prayer to the Lord. And after 20 minutes, they come out with a gavel on the pedestal and actually get them to stop praying. And to me, when I watched that, it was like, are they even hearing our prayers in the United States? I mean, it's like, when you see a corporate prayer like that and what we do here in the United States, that just so motivated me. And then we went up the prayer mountain and went through that. And I believe that God increased the spirit of prayer upon me that took my life. Over the next few years, you had our youngest son have leukemia. He passed away after 6 years. We moved away from this church to Santa Fe for 4. And then God, that week we buried our son, God turned my job around completely. And we went to China on a brand new assignment, and God helped me to pay off all my bills. And when I came back from China a few years, and then we became a deacon, and Pastor Brad asked me to pick up the prayer portfolio. But I'll tell you one thing. I've seen God answer so many prayers in our life. And, you know, Julie and Chad and I, we go as a family. Even though I take 200 flights a year back and forth to Knoxville to go work, I'm in here Saturday night, and I'm leading this prayer as a family. And I encourage other people to grab your family, your teens, your husband and wife, and come join us in the fireplace room. There's nothing like it. The presence of God is there. And if you have, you need God to provide and give answers in your life, He will. Amen. I'm telling you that He will. And so I just want to stop it there, but I'm just telling you that God answers prayers, and He brought a brother all the way, a family from India, to help me out. And I mean to help shoulder this thing. And I'm telling you, Robert and I will play off of each other to help support each other. Because there's some nights that I can't do it, and there's some nights where he can, and all it is a tech. And we work extremely well together in that. And I just want to thank you, Robert.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, I appreciate it. And again, we have Matt who leads on Wednesday morning. There's a group of us that meet Wednesday morning at 6 a.m. And then Seth runs one at 9 o'clock on Sunday morning here. Not all of them are Zoom. Some are Zoom and in person. Some are just Zoom. And you can see that up there. But before, here's an old quote for you. Before God gets ready to move, he sets his people praying. No revival has ever come to a town, to a country, without prayer as a backbone. It's never happened, and it never will. And so this is an indication of what God is getting ready to do in the future at Seaport Community Church. This is a prophetic statement of what's going to happen in the future. You hear that? Because I didn't do this. I asked Ed, and then Ed and Robert, and then Andrea, and then Matt, and then Seth, and just that's been a supernatural work of God. You know what? Before we go any further, why don't you stand with me? Let us, you know what? Let's just ask the Lord to continue. I pray this way for you all the time. God, help your people to pray. Help your people to pray. And I hope he doesn't use challenging methods. Lord, help us to pray, to be a people of prayer. This is a prophetic moment right now. This speaks of the future of this church and what will happen because you have set your people praying. It's a statement of the work that will take place in the future. We thank you for this. God, there's a tendency that many of us have to let somebody else pray. But let us not succumb to that. Let us be people of prayer. Thanks, Father. If you agree with that, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you. Hallelujah. Go ahead and be seated. Thank you so very, very much. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Why don't you just sit back? I want you to watch this quick little video, and then I'm going to share a message with you. But let's just watch this quick little video on prayer.
My prayer life is vibrant and it's active daily. I like to commune with God at nighttime. I get under those warm covers and I kiss my wife goodnight. Then I just start talking to God, just me and God, tell him everything. Makes me just sleepy just thinking about it. And there I am, just laying in bed, laying out my request to him, and he's hearing me, and I know that I'm in good company with it. Where was I?
The efficiency of one's prayers are directly congruent to the position of one's body. Therefore, the legs should be saying, God, help me. Amen.
There are times that me and God do not talk, and that is not God's fault. That is mine. I just get so busy. And so when I do end up talking to God, I really just try to impress him, give him a show, just to show him how much I love him. So excuse me, will you, as I pray to God. O Heavenly Father, beseech me not unto thee. How now? Brown cow, oh, thy soul is so dry, and if I can just catch a morsel of who you are, so verily, merrily, down the stream. God,
I just want to be used by you, God. I want
to be salt and light and light and salt and sight and light and peppers and oregano and pepperoni and black olives and those little bit.
When I like to get my prayer on, there's some things I keep in mind. I think it's totally awesome that God is like Santa Claus, and he wants to give you the things that you want. Therefore, you need to keep lists of things. My list currently has 745 prayer requests on them. So then when I go to the Lord in prayer, it looks a little something like this. I'll just pray real quick. Let's see. The uno thing on my list is my mom, and so I'll pray for her now. Dear Heavenly Father, I lift up this sweet salt of the earth lady that you have blessed me with to be my mother. And I tell you thank you. And although I know that I'm called to respect her, and I give her all due respect, there's also an issue of something she truly needs, and that is to stop a yapping. Lord, she yaps, and she doesn't know how to stop yapping. So could you please make her mute just for a day? Nothing permanent. Don't hurt her. I love her. Just mute her. Take your big God remote and push mute on her channel. That would be great. Henceforth, I would go on and pray all 746 things.
God, you are greater than anything this world has to offer. And I can't wait for you to come back and get us. But until that time comes, would you help me just to live my life day after day as if I'm just walking hand in hand with you. God, I have a lot of needs. And I have a lot of wants. And sometimes I get those things confused. Help me to just trust you to meet my needs. And be thankful when you give me those other things that I just want. God, I have blown it so many times today. And I'm sorry. Thank you for your forgiveness. I don't take it for granted. And God, as I start this day out, I'm just reminded that this world is filled with so many spiritual potholes. Please help me to walk in such a way where I won't stumble so much. And as I'm going through this day, God, help me to live my life in such a way that would bring you glory and honor. May the life that I live be a life of worship to you. Amen.
I was 16. I hadn't been a Christian very long. And I made a decision that I would learn to pray, because it just occurred to me that if I could learn to pray, I could see God do amazing things. I think the evidence is here. I'll never forget the first time I locked myself in a church basement, 44 Lee Avenue, New London, and prayed all night. I didn't know what I was doing. But I remember that night, just crying out to God. Maybe you're like me. Maybe you've had those moments where you've prayed intensely and nothing's happened. Or maybe you've just kind of almost like wished something and it immediately happened and you're like, what in the world? How does this work? I think probably most of us have been there, if not all of us, you know. And I want to go there. I want to talk to you a little bit about how God sees prayer. We always see it a little differently, but we're going to talk about that. I'm going to take a few minutes. I'm going to talk to you about why is it that some prayers are not answered? And why is it that some are? And what can we learn from all of that? I had a thought, and on Friday I contacted a friend of mine. He's a cardiologist in Boston. And I wrote him this question. This was the question. Have you seen any positive benefit of prayer for your patients over the years? He's been a cardiologist most of his life. He's a little older than I am. He responded immediately, even though he was on vacation in Norway. He writes this to me. Yes. And multiple clinical studies have clearly seen that patients who pray or receive prayer did better than those that didn't. Wow. Prayer's power to change our life is amazing. You've heard about that, and there's so many testimonies. My passion is I want you to see it and experience it yourself. That's the passion of my heart. But I want to begin with, as we jump in, how does God view prayer? You know, I've read a lot of books on prayer, and almost thinking about this, almost all of them start with the viewpoint of how to pray and what you should say and all those kinds of things. But I thought most of those books don't ever really talk about how God views prayer. And I thought about that for just a moment. You have to understand something. God's highest passion and priority is to have a relationship with you. Yes, you. And of course, me. God's highest priority is not American politics, the economy. His highest priority is not, you know, what the Supreme Court does or does not do. His highest priority is not the war in Ukraine, and don't misunderstand anything I'm saying to you. His highest priority is not the rise of China and Russia. His highest priority is not, does Google have a sentient machine? That's not his highest priority. Aware of it all, yes. His highest priority and passion is to walk with you. Do you know that? Prayer is just a method for that. That's all it is. It's so far more than just asking for stuff on a list. It's so much more than, you know, a lifesaver from trouble. It's so far more than any of those things. It's all about connecting with a God that loves you so you can grow closer to Him and He to you. It's about relationship with you. Think about it. Think about prayer like this. It's the God of the universe saying to you, I want to talk with you. Wait a minute, you're saying, wait a minute, prayer's me talking to God. It's that, yes. But prayer is far more than just you talking to God. Prayer is you listening. These days, I tend to do more listening because I figure what He has to say is a lot better than what I have to say. And when you begin to take prayer from that viewpoint, takes your life to a whole different dimension. All of a sudden, you begin to gain a greater understanding and passion and a sense of identity to who you are and what He's called you to be. Prayer fills your life with a peace that's hard to describe. Fills you with strength and wisdom that can power you through life's most difficult challenges. Many years ago, one of the most difficult moments of my life, I found myself seeing a professional Harvard-trained clinical psychologist, author. He helped me some. But you know what helped me? 3 hours every morning at Bluff Point. Thank God, help me. That helped me far more than seeing that guy. As great as he was. You know, it was a beautiful day, probably a lot like today, I would imagine. Jesus was seated on a hillside, beautiful hillside. Debbie and I stood there, overlooking the northwest shore of the Sea of Galilee in Israel. He sat there, and there was a huge crowd of people that had gathered there to listen to him. And He blew their mind over and over and over again in that sermon called the Sermon on the Mount that Matthew records in his book, Matthew chapters 5, 6, and 7. But I think that when He got to this part, the whole place probably just went silent or started buzzing. I don't know which. Matthew doesn't say. But when Jesus said, when you pray, pray like this. And He said, Our Father, who is in heaven. They must have just like, what? All of their lives, they had been told, the people that were gathered there that day, all of their lives by the religious professionals who were seated among them as well, probably, they were told, when you talk to God, you must be very stiff and very formal. You got to make sure you say the right things, and you better be careful how you even say His name. It's better not to even say His name, because if you get it wrong, He'll be mad at you. And you got that going into prayer, you don't want to do it. And Jesus goes, I like that, guys. You guys are wrong. Let me tell you how it works. When you come, he's your father. We just hear that, it's no big deal to us. It was mind-blowing to them. Mind-blowing. It was only a short time later in that very same message that Jesus would say something else. I wish we could hear the Sermon on the Mount the way they heard it. You know, because it probably would be stunning. In chapter 7, he would draw a comparison. He would say, if you guys are evil in comparison to the goodness of God, and you have a heart to bless your kids and do good things for them and not play tricks on them, devious, hurtful tricks, how much more does God, who knows what you have need of, how much more will God give you the things that you have need of? So the very first thing I want to tell you is that, number one, prayer is about a relationship. And number two, Jesus presents God as a God who is ready and who is willing to answer you and to bless your life. Some of us mouth those words, but we're not really sure. I'm not really sure we believe them. You know, when Debbie and I were raising Lindsay, it wasn't planned this way. It just kind of happened. That the answer to her request, there was a default, and it wasn't no, it was yes. When she asked us for something, the default in our hearts was yes, but there was a plenty of times when the no came because we couldn't afford it, or it wasn't a good thing, or it was too much for her, or, you know, or it just wasn't an appropriate thing, or could be harmful to her if we had gotten it for her, or in some cases, her mom already had it hidden somewhere. That happened a lot. I hope you just listened, because your Heavenly Father is just like that. God's default is yes. But he's not interested in answering positively when he knows it's going to harm us or we can't handle it or it's going to wreck our lives or he's got a specific timing that he's waiting to carry it out right at the right moment. I think sometimes we don't see God as ready. I think sometimes we see God like this. Like somehow we have to extract it out of him. We got to come up with the right formula. It's kind of twist his arm just right and, you know, and maybe he'll give it to us. I think sometimes we have that into our heads. We have this idea that, you know, if I say the wrong words in prayer, if I don't get it quite right, God's going to go, see, I knew you didn't know how to ask me right, so guess what? I'm not going to help you, dog. I think sometimes we see God like that. But I think the statues around the world, I think a lot of them are accurate. The ones that present Jesus like this, come unto me. I think they nailed it. I think if your eyes could be opened, you wouldn't see God like this with a frown on his face. You'd see him like this. Or maybe seated on his throne, leaning toward you. That's how I see him. You know that song we just sang about incense? Some of you are like, incense? Some of you went to churches where they burned incense. This church, nobody burns incense. Sometimes we'll like burn toast in the cafe, but we don't burn incense. That's rare. Kay almost never does that. And when it does happen, the fire alarm goes off, and so we have a fun time. But anyway, the incense. In the Revelation, five times it talks about, and from the Old Testament it talks about it too, that the incense are the prayers of the saints. The picture there is more powerful, more dramatic than what we might understand. And when you sing that song, let incense arise. Incense is the prayers of the saints. I want you to get the picture of when you walk into a place or when you walk into your kitchen and there's that sweet aroma, that sweet or something that's just freshly baked or bread or, you know, or something that's just fresh. It's just something that happens inside of us and it brings us such pleasure, right? When the incense, when your prayers are sent to God, that brings him incredible pleasure. Do you know that? Let incense arise. I know sometimes we say, God's so busy, he doesn't have time for me. He's spinning the earth on a 23.5 degree axis, you know. He doesn't have time for me. Really? You mean the God who Jesus said, if a sparrow falls out of his nest, he knows. If a hair falls out of your head, he knows. That God doesn't have time for you? The same God that Isaiah said has written tattooed. You know that God has tattoos, right? It's not here or here or here or somewhere else. The Bible says, and it's figurative, of course, he's written your name on the palm of his hand. Because this is his posture. He's ready. He's willing. There's another odd thing that the people of that day had in their thought processes about prayer, and Jesus addresses it in the Sermon on the Mount. He said, when you pray, don't pray like some of the people around you pray. They pray these long prayers, and they just babble on and on and on and on. Because they think that if they keep praying, that somehow maybe they'll exhaust their God and God will just finally give up and give it to them. He said, don't pray like that. He said, pray like this. And he gives us the Lord's Prayer. Interesting. And I love how the Message puts this. The world is full of so-called prayer warriors who are prayer ignorant. Isn't that wild? And then he goes on. He says, do not fall for such nonsense. Your Father that you're dealing with, he knows better what you have need of. He knows already. Some of your Bibles say he already knows what you have need of before you even ask. Jesus is saying that when you pray, God's already prepared. He's prepared. He already knows what you have need of and has it staged and ready. Do you know that? He has no supply chain issues. Years ago, and I hate when my wife does this because I cringe. And she did it this particular morning. I was like, oh my gosh, not again. Some friends of ours were just traveling through the area. This happened when we were living in Massachusetts. And they said, hey, we're coming through. We want to stop in. It was early in the morning. I said, yeah, I said, well, it's okay. Sure, come stop in. And so they stop in for breakfast and we're scurrying around. I mean, we had like no notice of anything. And so they stop in. And so we're having breakfast. And then my wife does this. She goes, is there anything else you would like? I'm thinking, I'm like, and my friend, being funny, said, yes, I would like some freshly cut pineapple. My wife went to the refrigerator and just never happened. We just so happened to have some. She went in there, she pulled it out, gave it to him, and he went, huh? I'll never forget that. It was one of the greatest moments. God already knows. He already knows. I know some of you hate pineapple, but so he got something else for you. But anyway. But why is it that some prayers go nowhere? Why is that? I suppose I could give you a big, long list. I want to focus in on just maybe three or four that I've noticed over the years are the big reasons why some prayers just kind of go boink, boink, boink. I mean, I know some of us think, you know, you can just throw out any prayer and God's like, I got it. It doesn't quite work like that. You know, it doesn't quite work like that. But neither does it work like God is waiting for the perfectly scripted prayer to respond to it. It doesn't work like that either. You know, I mean, you think about the prayers that were prayed. Now, if you will think of the words of the disciples to Jesus and their request as prayer, it'll kind of make it kind of think about things differently. If you'll think about some of the people that Jesus interacted with as coming to him and praying and requesting, what were some of their prayers like? Jesus, help me! Have mercy on me! Come and help me! Read those prayers. Did they work? They sure worked. Because they were from the depths of their hearts. And they were simple. Jesus said, pray simply. You don't need all kinds of crazy verbiage. Sometimes we don't pray because we think we don't do it quite right. And it's the funniest thing around here. I don't know how many times some of you have said to me, oh, I'm afraid to pray out loud because I don't really pray that very well. And we coach you and help you a little bit, tell you how to do it. And then you take off and you're phenomenal. It's amazing. It's amazing. But there are reasons why some prayers bounce off the ceiling. Pastor James, I tell you what, this guy failed politically correct training. The guy was brutal. He just tells it like it is. He'd make a good New Englander, very direct, very practical, just very in your face. You don't have to wonder what Pastor James in Jerusalem was saying when he wrote this letter. And he says, you know what? Yeah, you don't have what you want because you don't ask God for it. Hello. I should have added that as number one, but I didn't. But let me just throw this in for free. I see a lot of Christians all the time. They want everybody else to pray, but then they don't pray. They want the prayer team to pray, but then they don't ever come to prayer meetings. You know what I think about that? We'll pray for you, but a lot of times I'm thinking, if you're not interested enough, why should we be? Oh, we'll whine and we'll cry and we'll carry on and complain and this and that, but say, have you really taken some time to pray about that?
No.
You don't have anything because you haven't prayed about it. A lot of times we just don't pray. You know? So I just wanted you to hear that like James was saying it, okay? But let's go on. And even when you ask, you don't get it because your motives are all wrong. Uh-oh. You only want what you'll get for your pleasure, give you pleasure. So wrong motives is a big one. You know? Prayer is not only about meeting needs. You know, it's about gaining strength and wisdom to know what to do and how to do it and how to go forward. It isn't just amassing stuff that you can put in your, you know, yard sale later. Now, Jesus said a lot of shocking things, and he's about to say another shocking thing. I mean, Jesus probably would have blown up the Twitterverse. Well, actually, he still blows up the Twitterverse, you know. Have faith in God. I tell you the truth. You can say to this mountain, may you be lifted up and thrown into the sea, and it'll happen. You don't want to be down in your heart. I tell you, you can pray for anything. Why don't some Christians receive anything? Because they mouth the words and they say they believe, but in the depths of their hearts, they really don't. They pray like this. God, I'm trusting you that you're going to do this. But in your heart, you're saying, I don't think he's going to do that. I'll help you with that in a minute. It's all about your motives. It's all about your faith. You know, it's all about looking at that mountain, which represents anything that keeps you from doing what God has called you to do or being what he's called you to be. It's looking at faith and commanding it to move. But if there's one thing that I have noticed through the years that causes prayers to bounce off ceilings and causes people to be frustrated and say, have you prayed about it? Yeah, I prayed about this a lot. Yeah, nothing ever happens. I've noticed that sometimes that's because of what happens in verse 25. Look at verse 25. And Jesus ends the sermon on, he ends the Lord's Prayer in a similar fashion. He said, but when you're praying, first forgive anyone you're holding a grudge against so that your Father in heaven will forgive your sins too. The refusal to forgive others will cause your prayers to be short-circuited and bounce off the ceiling. Because God's attitude is this, I've forgiven you of so much, cannot you forgive? I know what you're thinking. Oh, you don't know what they did to me! You're right, I don't. They've never asked me for forgiveness! Yeah, I get that. But that still doesn't mean that you cannot extend forgiveness and be free from it. Amen? Check your heart. Don't get yourself off the hook. Pray with confidence that God hears and answers. Robert said, such person's on the phone for you. I was in a meeting, going into a meeting. I said, please take a message and I will call him back. I looked at the name on this piece of paper. And I twitched. That man had written me one of the harshest, nastiest, most caustic emails I'd ever received in my life. And now he's on the phone wanting to talk to me.
Hey.
Boy, God, you're going to test my heart on this, aren't you? You're going to test my heart. I had to make good on what I said, and I called him yesterday. I was as gracious as I could be. It was a brief conversation. And I said, Lord, thank you for testing my heart. I've extended forgiveness, and I'm still working on it, though, too. I don't want that to hinder my relationship with you. See, I live in that same world, friends. I don't want anything to hinder. You know why I don't want anything to hinder my prayer life? Because you're too important to me. I cannot afford to have my prayers hindered because I'm praying for you, and that's more important than anything. And you're praying for your families, and you're praying for your friends, and you're praying for yourself. And that's too important to allow unforgiveness and grudges and bitterness and hatred and anger to short-circuit it. Release it and live and pray with effectiveness. Prayer that gets answered. If anybody knew how to pray, it was Jesus. The disciples would wake up many a morning and they'd go, where is he? I don't know, he wandered off somewhere. Early in the morning, they would get up and he wouldn't be around. He'd be out praying somewhere. Sometimes they'd wake up in the middle of the night and Jesus was gone. Sometimes Jesus would say, stay here. I'll see you when I see you. I'm going to pray. What we call the Lord's Prayer. Not even 70 words. The sermon's way over that. Not even 70 words. Do you think that prayer's impacted the world? I think so. If you don't know how to pray, here's a way to pray. If you want a prayer that you know will get answered, then pray this prayer. No, Jesus never gave it to you to memorize and repeat in a rote fashion. He gave it to you as an outline. He gave it to me as an outline. Look at this. God, may you be honored in the world. And you heard it prayed by the skit guys. Pray that his rulership will come into your life and into the lives of everybody at this church and the people that you know. Pray that his purposes will be fulfilled. I don't know how many times Christians have said this to me and, you know, I mean, oh, well, whatever God wants to happen, it'll happen. Then why did Jesus say, pray that his will be done? You'll notice that the first three are about God's purposes and plans and priorities. But notice the second three. God, meet my needs, my daily needs. Do you know that God was in same-day delivery far, far before Amazon ever thought about it? My daily needs. My need for forgiveness from sin. Give me the power to defeat temptation and the works of evil around me. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. I've read a lot of books on prayer, a lot of them. You can use that as a, and if you pray that way, there's a pretty good chance it's going to be answered. Or maybe you want to pull one of the prayers out of what I do, out of the Psalms, or out of the letters to what the churches that Paul wrote. And sometimes what I'll do, like Ephesians 1, Ephesians 3, Ephesians 6, Colossians 1, John 17, and others, I'll pull those out and I'll take the names of the churches out and I'll put your name in there. So God, pray those prayers. But here's one of the best things that I can give you about praying. Those patterns that I've just shared with you are simple and they're great and they work. You check in your heart. But sometimes you just don't know how to pray about a matter. I shared this a couple of weeks ago with the men of Way of the Warrior. Sometimes you just don't know. The Bible says that the Spirit will help you to know how to pray. So many times I will just simply go, God, I don't even know how to pray about this. How should I pray? And immediately there'll come a direction or an idea or an insight to me. It will give me direction as how to pray. You can do the same thing. You don't know how to pray. How do I pray about this? When the pandemic, some of you have heard me say this many times, but when the pandemic started, you know, I said, Lord, how should we pray? How should I pray? And the Lord gave me some very specific things, and I've shared those with many of you. I'll never forget the Lord saying to me, I want you to pray that every Christian emerges from the pandemic financially stronger than when they went in. That's a quote. Okay. And I'm glad I did. He told me other things. I asked him how to pray. How do you pray about this matter? And I've learned that through the years, it's one of the most powerful things that I can do. I don't always do that, but that's a key part of how I pray. And sometimes, you know, you begin to pray, and sometimes you'll sense the Lord saying, don't pray like that. I've actually literally had the Lord say to me as I was praying about it, I've literally had him say, and I know for some of you that may be visiting here today, you say, God talks to you? And you're concerned about that. I think you should be more concerned if God doesn't talk to your pastor. And guess what? He wants to talk to you too. I'm telling you. Are you listening? I'm not talking about crazy, stupid stuff. A friend of mine is spending all kinds of hours in a clinical research project with David Berkowitz, son of Sam, who, by the way, has had a genuine conversion experience to Jesus. Some of you don't even know who I'm talking about. Some of you people that look like me do. Talking about my age. Know how to pray. I've had God say to me, do not pray like that because I'm not going to answer that prayer. Pray like this. No problem. Keep on asking and you will receive. Look at what Jesus says here. Very simply, as I bring this to closure, band, you guys can come. As I bring this to closure, you want to be prayers that are answered. They're simple. They follow that very simple plan. They're in line with the will and the plan and the purposes of God. And so if you don't know how to pray, then pray how the Lord shows you and directs you. But be diligent and faithful because you got to keep praying and keep asking. Do not quit. Do you hear me? Do not quit. I said to somebody yesterday, they said to me, I'm so frustrated. I just feel like I just want to give up. And I said, well, you can, but then you've got what you got. If you quit. But if you keep going, you have the hope that things will change. Don't quit. So wrap this up. I just want to give you this action point. Here's the action point. Take that one thought that hits you like boom, hits you right in the depths of your being. That's probably the Spirit of God trying to say something to you. Take that and think about it and ask the Lord for direction on it. Determine what to do with it. Or maybe you just simply need to do this and simply say, God, show me how to pray. Or God, help me to pray the Lord's Prayer from your heart, not in a rote fashion. I want you to stand with me as we close. We're going to sing Good, Good Father. Because at the end of the day, if you believe that God is good and faithful, you'll keep praying even when things don't make sense. Even when it's a struggle. I barely covered the topic of prayer today. I have books in my library that are 300 pages long on the topic of prayer. So you can see that I barely scratched the surface, but I wanted to just to give you the high points. If you will learn to pray, it doesn't mean that everything will go the way you want. God will often redirect into something that's so far better than what you were praying about. You are amazed. And sometimes I've said to God, I don't know why this prayer is not being answered. This prayer is not being answered. Why is this? And sometimes I've said, God, why is this prayer not being answered? And God's told me all kinds of stuff. And sometimes he said nothing. I've just had to trust. Don't ask me to put everything in a nice little box because I can't. I'm sorry. I'd like to. I wish I could. I wish I could give you an explanation for every little thing, but I'm just not that sharp. And God's too big. And that's when trust fills in the gap. Are you with me on that? Nearly 50 years ago, I set on a journey to learn how to pray. I'm still on it. That might tell you how much I value it. You think you just wandered in here coincidentally? You think your life has been put on a whole new trajectory coincidentally? You think this building fell out of the sky and landed here? Or a UFO brought it? I can tell you, that didn't happen. It's being funny with you. Seaport exists today for a lot of reasons, but the big one is faithful prayer. A group of people have met almost without stop on Saturday night for 33 years. Be people of prayer. Your family's depending upon it. Your friends are depending upon it. Prayer is the first and foremost, coming into connection with your Heavenly Father who longs to walk with you. Let's sing this. Hallelujah. Let's sing it. And then we'll close. I'll tell you how we're going to close. Sing it. Thank you. Driving up Route 9 yesterday, I had to drive all over the place yesterday, but I almost had to pull off. I couldn't see. It wasn't because of the windshield, it was because of what was in my eyes. Pastor Steve had sent me a little video, and of course I wasn't watching it, but I was listening to it, about a family with two autistic boys who God supernaturally healed, and they were on record as no longer being autistic. Doctor verified. One of the great burdens of my heart is the struggles I watch some of you go through, dealing with some of the hard things you have with the kids. It just rips me to shreds. But the Lord wants us to pray right now for a supernatural flow of His healing power at this church. I've done it before. I'm not going to quit until it happens. Will you pray with me that way? I want to hear you pray. Don't just listen to me pray. You pray. And let's lift up our voices. You can pray with confidence because this is what the Lord is telling me to pray. I'm telling you to pray this way. We are praying in agreement with the Spirit of God so we can pray with confidence. You get that? So, Lord, we lift up our voices and we pray in agreement with your direction. And God, and that is for a supernatural, unprecedented, I'm going to use that word, unprecedented work of your Spirit. Yeah, it's good. I love that voice. Lift those voices up. Hallelujah. We are asking you, God, for a supernatural work of your Spirit. God, that you'll begin with the kids. You'll begin with the kids. And God, they'll be taken off whatever label they're on. God, I don't see anything that's too hard for you here. And I don't know why the delay, but I'm not going to let you go until you bless us. I will not let you go. Send your healing power into this place. For the glory of no one except you. And for the blessing of your people. Start with the kids. And then move on to the rest of us. Agree with me as I pray that God would help every one of us to pray. Jesus said men ought always, and he talked about men and women, ought always to pray and not to quit, not to faint, not to give up. Help us not to. Some of us have quit. We've gotten so frustrated and aggravated and disappointed that we've quit. But we're saying today, one more time. One more time. One more time. Energize us and strengthen us, I pray. Just to pray. Thank you, Lord. Ministry team will be across the front here. If you need prayer for any specific reason, they'll pray with you. But I'm going to dismiss us because I feel that's what the Lord wants us to do. You know what? Just say, God, just give me the one thing I need to do with prayer this week. Don't try to think about everything I've said to you. Just say, God, give me that one thing I need to pray about, what I need to do. And then do it. God, thank you for meeting us today. As we go from here, again, we pray, God, get our men and boys back safely. Thank you for the great weekend that they've had. Send us out of here now in your great grace, we pray. Amen. God bless all of you. If you need prayer, come and receive it. If you need to go. God bless you. Have a wonderful, wonderful Sunday. Hallelujah. We'll begin Wednesday night with Love Your Neighbor. Hallelujah.
To you.